Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, open our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to say today, Lord. The importance of the message, Lord. It's not by accident that we are at this stage, Lord, and that we are reading about Peter and his message to us even today, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord Jesus, that you use the Holy Spirit to speak through my lips, that nothing come out of my mouth that you did not appoint, Lord. That this wake us up, Lord. Encounter us right now, Holy Spirit. Open our ears to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians 3, is everything else, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. This is a man of God whose heart is after God speaking these things, and you are going to see what the opposite is today. That I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. To know him. To really know him. God help us. Second Peter chapter 2 is probably one of the most serious letters, in my opinion, in the Bible for the church. We're only going to be covering three verses, but I want to read the entire chapter for context. Because we are talking about false teachers. The difference in knowing him versus knowing of him. Chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it. But there were also false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. And for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. To those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. He was their judge. He was a judge. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust and under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity when a dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through the lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Wow. We'll be spending some time on that. I'm not going to spend all of it today, but for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing back in the mud. Going back to the mud. Wow. Wow. To someone who knew him, to turn. That's why Peter's focus, all of chapter 1. All of chapter 1 is make sure the beloved are on a sure foundation. A sure foundation in faith in Christ. Christ alone. Through the power of his word, the foundation is the great and precious promises bought through Christ and shared with us in the living word that is on your lap. Amen. It's the living word of God. And the importance of a foundation allows the beloved, if you're on a firm foundation, you can stand firm on that foundation with God's truth. And the truth leads us to live a life of godliness and love. And this life, as we grow in our faith, helps us confirm that we know Christ and we are His. It confirms our election. And it will produce self-control that will keep us or help us escape the corruption that is in the world because of what? Lust. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh. 2 Peter 1:19-21. Just before he transitions in this letter where he's addressing the false prophets, he says, so we have the prophetic word confirmed, right? He talked about what I saw, right? Do you remember the testimonies he saw? Which you do well heed. You better cling to this word. You better hold on to it as a light that shines in a dark place. You hold it in your heart and you let it produce a work in you until the day dawns, until Christ calls you home to him or he returns in the clouds and calls you home. You give heed to that word. You let it yield and produce and work inside you. And the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. He is setting the trend. There's no private interpretation to this scripture. You can't twist the words. That's what Satan does. And that's Satan working through false prophets. For prophecy never came by the will of man. False prophecy comes through the will of man, because it's their own will they're trying to fulfill. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God are surrendered. They let God flow through them. They yield themselves as members so that God can speak through them and accomplish a purpose. Amen. There's a difference. How powerful is the word of God? Let's just stay there for a moment. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul tells Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. The Scripture is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It gives you wisdom to know that the foundation there, okay? And all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. He just confirms what Peter just said. And it's profitable for what? Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, each and every one of you here, may be complete, to have the fullness of God inside you, complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, for His kingdom. So that word, how powerful is that word? The word, what is it? It's pure word. Psalm, I'm gonna plaster some scripture here. Psalm 119:140, it's pure word. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. It's perfect word. It leads to salvation. It gives wisdom. It opens eyes. Psalm 19:7-8, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. You want sureness? The testimony of the Lord is your sureness. Amen. That is the truth. So the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The simple get wisdom from what is on your lap, the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, and it enlightens the eyes. Word is truth. Psalm 119:42. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Hebrews 4:12-13. For the word of God is living, and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, for joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, continuously. And there is no creature, none, not one, no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. You see, the Word reveals our intentions. It reveals our intentions. Do you shut it out? When you hear something that is the Word of God and your soul says, "Ooh," and it's trying to correct you, and you just say, "I'm not going to accept that. I don't want to accept that." You and I will give an account for that. We will give an account to that. Isaiah 55:11, it's not void. It completes the task that it sets out to do. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. The word of God works in us. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. John 17:17, it sanctifies. Sanctify them by your truth. What is truth? Your word is the truth. And it gives hope and life. And there's gives so much more, but let's just end there. Hope and life. Psalm 119:49-50. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. The word of God gives you comfort in the middle of your affliction. That's why Peter talked about all in 1 Peter about the trials and the perseverance of the saints. For your word has given me life. Life, 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 eternal life. It's the hope to which we come. Doesn't matter what comes our way. Doesn't matter what comes our way. You breathe your last breath. You are in Christ. You have eternity to look forward to. Don't bite the fruit. The lie. That everything is, you got to get here. Everything here today. Have your best life here today. Therefore, all these things I just shared with you about the Word of God, you must be diligent. You, not just me. Yes, I'm a shepherd. You, our flock, but you still have to be diligent to study the Word, to study to show yourself approved, to know His Word, to know His precious promises. Why? Why? Because there are false prophets. There are teachers out there, false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing amongst the brethren, amongst the brethren. And Peter is asserting the truth of words of God's Word, and he takes the apostate head on. So let's just go 1-3. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Peter is telling us, listen, there are false teachers now, and will continue to be false teachers among you. Among you. He's writing this letter. Remember, he's about to die. And he's writing this letter saying, hey, this isn't just for people today. This is for all the saints. Come until the Lord returns. So we know where there is truth, there is always a counterfeit. Right? Satan always has a counterfeit or lie to the truth. It went all the way back to the garden where the truth was distorted. Where there is the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Satan will have a false Trinity in Revelation, right? Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast system, to turn the world away from God. To turn the world away from God. Romans 1, turn the world away from God. Satan, since the garden, has looked to undermine the truth and has attacked the truth since Genesis 3. Since Genesis 3, it's all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Old Testament, false prophets would rise up and lead God's people, Israel, away, turning them. Remember Baal. Do you remember the whole study on Elijah? How quickly they got swept away. Even when the living Word became flesh and dwelt among us, truth would continue to be twisted. Satan is the god of this world. Lowercase g. He is the god of this world. He controls the world system, and religion is part of it.
That's right.
It is part of it. He uses false teachers to undermine and distort the Word of God and its truth. And only, you see, our Lord says it's going to intensify just before His return. And we are living in those days. We are living in those days. This is very serious, folks. It's serious. Many will look at false teachers and say, so what? We're not talking about something minute, folks. We are talking about eternity. We're talking about people who destroy lives here today, and for eternity, they will be lost. Worse than any terrorist could do here. It's a serious message. Peter says there were false prophets among the people. Let's look at that. Let's just look at an example in the Old Testament and see for proof during that time. Let's just see how serious, let's see how serious Moses thought about apostates, huh? Turn to Deuteronomy 13 and let's read 1 through 11. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Listen, signs and wonders. Yeah. Signs and wonders. If you happen to see signs and wonders, test them. Where are they pointing to? Mm-hmm. Who are they pointing to?
That's right.
Are they building up man? Are they building up some other lowercase g God? Or are they building up the God, Jesus? Okay? We saw what Simon the sorcerer was doing. He was manipulating, right? Yet we saw Peter in the book of Acts doing signs and wonders. But it was all to Christ's glory, not Peter. He said, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus, the one who did all. So let's keep going here. How serious an apostate is. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. Verse 4, and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. That means being steadfast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage. Sounds very much like 2 Peter 1, 1 through 3. To entice you from the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, so you shall put away the evil from your midst. Listen, and he goes even further to say, if it's your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom or your friend who is as your own soul, if they secretly entice you saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall you your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Whoa! Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you from away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness among you. See, Moses knew how poisonous, he knew how cancerous false teachers are and apostates. That's why he's like, there's no hesitation. You have to take them out, otherwise it'll spread like wildfire. And we saw that with Baal and how it just swept away. The king and Jezebel, they put it through and it just swept the country away. And today we have become so tolerant of false doctrine. So tolerant. First Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, doing what? How do they depart from the faith? They give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Church, we are not talking about some outsider infiltrating the church saying, hey, I'm a false teacher and I'm going to lead you to judgment. There's not going to be a sign on them pointing that. Peter says there are false prophets among the people, but even as there will be false teachers among you. Among! Peter's stating the false teachers arise from within the church. Paul also knew that false prophets would infiltrate from within. Just as there's wheat and tares, folks. There are some churches that are part of the ecumenical movement that have plans. They make plans to infiltrate a church. They take over the leadership to purposely divide the church, chase away the leaders. Then they take over its assets and those who are left over. I saw it. I was on the elder board at Westmont Bible, and I was aware of what was going on around. They are hostile takeovers. They don't come in guns a-blazing. It's subtle. It's subtle. Here's one example. Let's look at it. Paul says in Acts 20, 28 through 31, he says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." He saw what would happen. He knew. He said, as soon as I'm out of here, people are going to rise up from within, and then people are going to come in from without, and they're going to just tear apart the flock. And he had tears on it. He was mourning because he knew there was going to be such carnage from false teachers. Again, they're not wearing signs that state apostate. They are stealth. You know what? Listen, folks. Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, Adam was appointed to oversee the garden, tend to it, tend to the animals. How did Satan approach Eve? He did not approach Eve as an angel of light. He infiltrated as an animal, as a serpent. He was amongst them like the other animals. Then he started to speak. And he twisted the truth. Perfect example, all the way back in the garden. Infiltrated among, then spoke. False teachers. 1b, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Secretly, which is parasago, which is to introduce, to bring in secretly, to enter by stealth. To enter by stealth, destructive divisions. That's what heresies are. They cause divisions. They add some of the world or worldly concepts and fold it into the message. They twist a little scripture, exactly, brother. Galatians 5, 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. They mix the world in with the truth. And if you don't know the difference, you will accept it. You will accept it. The message is twisted. And they often use scripture, but twisting it for another meaning. Satan did it in Matthew 4. These teachers bring in destructive heresies. A little error here, twist the words here, then suddenly people are denying the word of God. They're denying the truth. You can see it happening now. Now, these are just stories in the Bible. They're moral stories. They're kind of like guidelines for us to live in. They didn't really happen. They're fables to keep people in line. No, they're not. The Word of God's infallible, and it's truth. Amen. And that truth sets you free.
That's right.
No truth man brings sets you free. Apostasy is a falling away from key and true doctrines of the Bible into heretical teachings that proclaim to be the real Christian doctrine. And it's a complete renunciation of the Christian faith, which results in abandonment of Christ. First will be denial of key Christian truths, such as the divinity of Christ, repentance, perhaps even the judgment of God. That's a big one right now. No one wants to talk about that. Everyone wants to talk about the love of God, which, yes, I'm all about love. You know, love, the love of God, yes, it is awesome. It's agape, it's sacrificial. But you can't just teach the one part of God. There's so many attributes of God, and God is also a judge, and he's holy, and he expects holiness. Amen. Once the first denial of those key Christian truths are happening, then begins a downhill slide into a full departure from faith, which is the second form of apostasy. It's important to understand that the second form always begins with the first. It doesn't come right in full abandonment. Just a little leaven, and then distort, then it just corrupts it all. A heretical belief becomes a heretical teaching that splinters and grows until it pollutes all aspects of a person's faith, and then the end goal of Satan is accomplished, which is a complete falling away from Christ. And it's going to happen, folks. The Bible says it happens. I'm not saying it happens. The Word of God says it's going to happen. It's in Thessalonians. Read it for yourself. And we just read it. Some will depart from the faith. There's a falling away that comes before the son of perdition arises and it shows himself. And it makes way. How can the son of perdition come to rise? Because people have turned away from their truth. They've turned away from the truth. Remember, this is done secretly, stealthily, not noticeable. If you are studying the Word of God to show yourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth, then you will not fall prey to such things. It's going to sound good. Just like it did in the garden. You won't die. You'll be as God. Isn't that like Satan? He paints the prettiest picture. And he leaves out all the other details. Mm-hmm. Leaves out all that fine print. You see, once you start down the path, if you don't know the truth, then you follow blindly. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both fall into a ditch." You will take them at their word. Listen, if a doctor prescribed medication and he said you could die as a potential side effect of this medication, would you not do research on all options? Read and follow the instructions to the T. It's no different, folks. If the Bible was taken away from you, would you have enough truth in you to help you stand? Or let's put it another way. What are they doing in China right now? They are rewriting a new Bible.
That's right.
Did you know that? They are rewriting a new Bible. Mm-hmm. And its job is to point to the government. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they'll have a couple messages pulled from the Bible that's sprinkled in there. But it is a far cry from the truth.
That's right.
I guarantee you, those steadfast believers are studying to show themselves approved. They want that word inside there. They're willing to give their life for it. They're willing to hide. Am I still on? Okay. So we're talking about such destructive heresies, teachings. 1C, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. This has eternal judgment written all over it. Matthew 10:32-33, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." These were people bought, redeemed. How do I know that? Read verses 20 through 22 again. Later in this chapter, they knew the truth. They knew God, and they decided to lay it aside, to pursue their own passions. That's a serious message that is not being preached in most churches today. I have a hard time with the once saved, always saved message because of passages like this.
Amen.
Isn't that the? I heard a teacher who had the same struggle as he was reading this message. He was talking about like that tension between God preserving and turning away, and that tension in between, you know, because he was raised on one side of the spectrum. And there's not a balance. It's just so like split down the middle. It's just like, nope, this is it. And no, this isn't it. We're talking about, you know, Calvinism and Arminianism. Right. Just like, what if it's not in one? What if there's a tether in between? That's a hard message. And many don't want to accept it. They kind of gloss over it. You read through a lot of the commentaries over it. They will breeze over that part and just say, well, these people, they didn't really know Christ. They were just, you know, like the tares. Which there can be tares in the church. That's right. There can be false professions.
Oh, yes.
But you can't read this passage and just breeze over that part.
No.
You have to read the Word of God as it is in front of you.
Amen.
Pray about it, read it, and say, what is this really trying to say? To confirm that, after reading verses 20 through 22, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Christ bought us at the auction block. Even denying the Lord who bought them, they bring on themselves swift destruction. You know what it says in verse 2? Many, many will follow their destructive ways. They're not glorifying God in their body. Their ways are destructive now, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. These teachers are charismatic, and they will be charismatic. They know how to pump up a crowd. They know how to rev you up. They will look the part, they will talk the part, and many will follow their destructive ways. Why? Because their words are seductive. Their teachings are seductive. They seduce the flesh to have the best life now. There is no sin. There is no judgment. Don't deny yourself. You deserve all the promises of God. Health, wealth, power of your little kingdom. Positive self-pride, promoting messages. It's not about the Lord's glory, it's about glory for yourself. You are so worth it. God loves you. You can have your best life today. It's here on earth. This is all false. It's all false. It sounds really good. It sounds good to the flesh. Yes, I want that. It's the opposite. It is the opposite of what John the Apostle said. 1 John 2:15, 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's of the world. It's of the world. Yet many, many will fall away from the truth. Why? 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 says why? For the time will come. I would say the time has come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. Instead, to suit their own desires, their own. Not what Jesus said, Father, your will be done, not mine. To suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers. I like what this guy says. Let's gather him around. Conferences are huge right now. They're huge. And I am not saying every conference is bad. Please don't misunderstand that. But they gather around a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. It's not what the Spirit wants to hear. It's what their itching ears want to hear. And they will turn away their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. They'll take the fable because it sounds good. Sounds good. I'll take that. By covetousness, verse 3, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. These false teachers will seek what you have. Later in this chapter, and we just read through it, we really see what we're talking about here. We're talking about greed, and we're talking about sexual sin. Mm-hmm. And their words are deceptive. Their words are deceptive. Remember, they come in stealthily. Later on in the passage we open with every time in Philippians, Paul says in 3:18 through 19, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." That's a description of the false teacher in here. They are not thinking eternal significance. They are thinking today. Get mine today. Do you see how important this message is? Peter said in the first chapter of this of 2 Peter, "You are well established. And I'm going to make sure you know the truth in your foundation." Think about those who just came to Christ.
Right.
Who are not being discipled.
That's right.
And are easily caught away. The sower and the seed.
That's right.
They receive the word, but then as soon as the trials come, they just are consumed from it. The way of truth is blasphemed. The way of truth is blasphemed. Who's the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They will say nothing or do nothing to picking up the cross, denying self, and following Him. Yet these teachers are looking to exploit those in the church. They use deceptive words to get all they can in this life. Just as it was in the garden, their decision is, I don't want a master. I don't want a master. I don't need someone telling me what's right and wrong. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. That's the lie today, isn't it? And the congregation will want the same. They will want more and more. Give me more. My ears are itching. Tell me more. Tell me how great I am. Not how great He is. Tell me how great I am. They replace the I am with little I ams. It's called an idol, folks. It's called a false god. Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, disqualified for every good work. Yeah. There could just as well be false teachers who never fully knew. They just saw the end prize that they could get by becoming part of a church. There's people in seminary who do it right now. They look at the corporate structure and say, I can do that. Judas did it. Mm-hmm. Didn't he?
Sure did.
How seductive was his words? Let's look at the story. Do you remember when Mary like broke out the fragrance to anoint Jesus? And he's like, "Oh, we should have sold that. We could give money to the poor."
Yeah.
Sounds good, right? Sounds moral. He said that with the intention, because he took a little off the top each time. for himself. It's actually what it says in the Bible.
Yes, he did.
These false teachers and those who follow them are heading to eternal destruction, folks. We are talking about eternity. A true life sentence.
Yes.
Revelation 20, 11 through 15. I'm getting ready to close here. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works, to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I didn't use that scripture, but I'm thinking about it right now, which is adding and description, their names will be blotted out of the book of life. The name had to be in the book of life to be blotted out. Revelation 21, 7 through 8. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Eternity, folks. Eternity. Forever. In a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. This is serious stuff. And the falling away is happening right now before our very eyes. It's happening. And Jesus said it. He said it. He said, on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, beware, beware, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look the part, but they are ravenous wolves. And you will know them by their fruits. What fruit are they producing? Fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the world, right? Fruit of the Spirit, self-control, right? That's one of them. Show some self-control. There's no self-control in that Second Peter chapter. Their appetite is their belly, and they just want it, fill it, fill it, fill it. Do you see how serious this message is? Do you see how condemning it can be? And how eternity, folks. Eternity. Everyone wants to gloss right over that. The falling away are just those. The falling away are just those who never really were in faith. Really? I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. God help us. God help us to study, to know that word. You hold me accountable. Hold me accountable to what I preach. Amen. And if something ever happened to me, that you make sure you have enough word in you to continue on. and to share with others the truth. You lead someone to Christ, you are accountable for that person. You need to take care of that person.
Amen.
You need to help disciple
Preach
them.
It.
Make sure they know.
That's right.
Make sure they know. Because others will look to deceive them. They will look to lead them away. They're just looking to get more for themselves. There's no hesitation. None. None. Satan's time is drawing to a near, and his goal is to get as many, as many. And there's nothing more that he would love to do than to take those who once proclaimed Christ and get them to turn away. I saw a man in an elder board meeting deny Christ. And I saw the effects it had on him afterwards. You know that man. Who was bought with a price and cast it aside. Their destruction is worse than had they ever known it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, I preached your message. It's a hard message. This chapter is hard. That I honor you with the message that I'm sharing, Lord. Help me to continue to drive deeper into your word. That I study myself to be approved of you, Lord. I don't want blood on my hands.
Amen.
God, help me if I ever lead the body astray, Lord. Direct my path. Holy Spirit, fill this church, Lord. Fill this body with your power, with wisdom and discernment to understand the signs and the seasons in which we live, Lord. Your footsteps are coming. I'm reminded again of the 10 virgins, Lord. They all had oil. They all had oil. But 5 were diligent about it. And 5 were slothful. And fell asleep. And ran out. And as you returned, they were on the outside. I don't know you. God, help us to be about your will and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.